Broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And good morning to you. You are in the clubhouse. Glad to have you. It's a beautiful July 6th, and it's going to be a gorgeous day. Certainly in Hawaii, a little cloud cover this morning, and then it'll turn into like, oh, I don't know, 87, 90 degrees, depending on where you happen to be. We have a great show lineup for you. Rick Cressman, owner and operator of the Nailcott Hall in beautiful Coventry, England, will be checking in with us about the British Par 3 Championship that's going to be played in England at the beginning of August. And Hank Haney, he's instructed over 200 touring professionals from the PGA, the LPGA, the Champions Tour, the European, the Japanese, the Australian, the Asian tours, including world number one. He's scheduled to call in this morning. I certainly hope he does. Greg D'Andrea, founder of Golf Stinks. It's a social media site appealing to me, average hacker that I am, taking the frustration out of golf by giving you a place to kind of, you know, talk to other people with the same frustrations that you have. He's got some good ideas. And Kate Hughes, the former LPGA player. She's now a teaching professional. She focuses on the mental game. She's a writer and reviewer for BunkersParadise.com. But first, let us thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And before we talk with Hank Haney, we're going to tell you about the EWGA. It is an organization, an international nonprofit. It's for women who'd like to learn, play, and enjoy the game for business and for the fun of it. And it's also for men. Yes, it's the EW, which stands for women, but it's also for men. And it's different from other golf organizations because you don't have to have a gin, for instance, to play. You don't have to be really, really serious about the competition to be a part of the organization. It was created by a woman who really wanted to get golf into her life because she realized that the people doing business in the world of golf, in the world period, are playing golf. And she was somehow missing out because she wasn't on the course spending 4 hours with somebody, hopefully 3.5 if it's 18 holes, and moving along, then going to the 19th hole, enjoying a few beverages, having something to eat. And she created this organization. We've got a chapter starting off here in Hawaii. I'm a part of it, I'm happy to say. And we've gotten together, had a lesson with Alan Ano over at Ko'olau, had a great time. And some of the women who were, you know, playing, they decided during the lesson, let's go play 9 holes. And it was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They did twilight. It was a spur of the moment thing. The beauty about this organization is that gets women who aren't able to spend the kind of time it takes to be competitive. They get to have fun. They get to get together with women, like-minded women, women that you might never meet in any other organization. We all got together and had a really good time. So it's not just focused on playing golf. It's to help women take advantage of golf as a networking tool, the same way men do. Now, I'm going to try to get in touch with Mr. Haney, and in the meantime, we'll take this commercial break. Thanks.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Go test drive this car at Acura Honolulu, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. I want a tight turning radius. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. I want a responsive engine. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. And a smooth, quiet ride down Ala Moana Boulevard. You'll get that. It's so good on the nerves on Honolulu streets. But don't take my word. Test drive the 2014 Acura RLX. Call for an overnight test drive. You heard right. Call General Sales Manager TJ Jones for your appointment to visit Acura of Honolulu. Your time's valuable. Book it. Call 942-4555. Meet with TJ and the RLX expert. There is so much to Acura's RLX where luxury meets high tech. Acura's flagship sedan. Take it home. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your life. You heard right. Acura of Honolulu will wash and vacuum your current car while you're experiencing the Acura RLX. And when you bring it back, find out when you can take your Acura RLX or RLX Advance home. The number is 808-942-4555. His name is TJ. The car is the Acura RLX. It's an amazing car, and I'm not easily amazed.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose? That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
Hank Haney, swing coach to thousands, including at one time Tiger Woods, the number one player in the world. Founder of Hank Haney Golf with golf training facilities in Texas. Founder of the Hank Haney International Junior Golf Academy with the Asia Academy open now as well. Contributor to Golf Digest magazine for over 25 years, monthly articles. And of course, he's the author of The Big Miss, My Years Coaching Tiger Woods. Essentials of the Swing. The only golf lesson you'll ever need, no more bad shots, and fix your yips forever. He's also host of Golf Channel's The Haney Project. Really glad to have him on the show. Welcome in the clubhouse, Hank Haney.
Great, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate that nice introduction.
It's absolutely my pleasure. And after I looked at all your accomplishments, I thought to myself, okay, Mr. Haney's 57 years old, a dad. You have a three-month-old now?
Well, I do. My first child and my wife, Suzanne, and I, and Henry Hudson Haney, and we're very, very excited. I've got one more student to go.
Yeah, one more. Okay, that was my question, is what are your goals after having accomplished so much?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, golf's been so great to me. So, I'm just enjoying what I'm doing now. I do a lot of golf clinics for different companies and events and charity events. And obviously, my show, The Haney Project, has been fun. And then, you know, just training teachers to teach. So, my career's taken a little different path after, you know, 30 years of teaching touring pros. I'm now just, you know, helping the average player try to enjoy the game more. And last year I gave clinics for over 15,000 people, so that was a wow. lot of fun. And now I've got one more student, my young son. When he's old enough to hit, we'll start, and that'll be fun.
Okay, he's 3 months old. When was your, like, he'll probably want to start playing with golf balls, you know, when he starts walking, crawling around. And if he turns away from golf, if he's not interested, what would you do?
Well, I mean, that'll be fine too, but I doubt if that'll be the case because his mom plays and I play, and you know, he'll want to be out there. But everybody on Twitter sends me pictures of their kids hitting plastic golf balls when they're like 1 and 2. So I'm sure we're going to get an early start. I can't wait till he starts swinging at something. It'll be fun to watch.
I started reading The Big Miss, and we're going to talk much more about it, but before we do, I thought it was interesting. What does The Big Miss mean in professional golf?
Well, I mean, it's really, golf jargon for the big miss tee shot, the bad miss, the shot that costs you a shot or two shots with a penalty shot. It's a big miss putt, a big miss opportunity to win a tournament, to, win a major, to, close out a match. And, so it's got multiple meanings, and that was why we picked it as the title of the book, thought it was appropriate.
Okay, and that's what I want to ask you. When I was reading, I realized what it meant in golf jargon on the tour, but why did you choose it to be a book about working with Tiger Woods all those years, the big miss? It sounds like, did you miss something with him?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think the missed opportunities that Tiger had to win more tournaments, to win more majors, maybe there's a missed opportunity. Obviously, there was a missed opportunity when he had his scandal. I mean, I'm sure that's, something that he would consider to be a big miss.
Mm-hmm.
The golf-wise, but also just as a, being able to influence people in a positive way. I think that there was certainly a little bit of a miss there. Obviously, his image took a hit, and then the missed opportunity to have a better relationship, maybe a longer relationship, whatever. But I mean, it was so much fun for me to write that book because I just, I wanted to recall my memories and I had a great 6 years helping Tiger. I mean, it was just absolutely incredible opportunity for any coach to have an opportunity like that. It was just unbelievable. And then when it's all said and done, it was such a great opportunity, but 6 years was a long time. And I would never, look back and say it was anything but great, plenty long enough,
Yeah, it's not, when I'm reading the book, it's obvious that you enjoyed your time with him. At the same time, I could see that because of his demeanor, he is who he is, and he's a closed person, and people are who they are. You can't change them. It would be, I would imagine, for myself, if I were working with somebody and trying to develop a real, like, when can I step in and help out relationship, it'd be kind of trying after a while. I'd find that very difficult on the psyche, not being able to have a friendship with somebody that I really want to impart and help perfect something with. And they're obviously, Tiger Woods, driven to perfect something, it seems. Then the question I asked, as you do in the book, is Tiger Woods tired of being Tiger Woods at the level that it takes to be perfect?
I mean, to a certain extent, because when you have to deal with everything that he's dealt with for a long time, I mean, he's an old 37. He's been doing this for a long time, dealing with the media for a long time, dealing with high expectations for a long time. Everyone always recognizing, everyone expecting you to do something, hoping you're going to do something. It's just, there's a lot of expectations, and it's not easy to be, a great superstar. I mean, a lot of people see all the great things that happen to people like that, but it's not easy to do it, and it's not easy to be that person. So I'm sure that with any person that is, in the media's eye and in the public eye and is an incredible achiever, there are probably times when they think, wow, I mean, just for a minute, I'd like to, not have all these expectations on me. But then again, that is why they're great. They can handle it and they can, press on through the tough times.
You said that Tiger Woods isn't preparing for majors as hard as he could. That was an interesting comment after watching him in the U.S. Open, of course. What do you mean he's not preparing as hard as he could?
Well, I mean, that Marion tournament was a tough one because the week before, Tiger, you know, is traditionally at home in Florida, and there was a tropical storm came through. So that wiped out at least, you know, at least 2 or 2.5 days of possible good practice. You know, it's one thing to maybe hit a few balls inside. It's another thing to go out on the golf course and play and really prepare. So that week prior would not have been what it could have been or in my mind should have been. And then they went to Marion, and then, you know, they had rain on Monday. They had rain on Tuesday. And my guess is there he probably played a total of 18 holes, you know, total the week before the tournament, or the 4 days before the tournament. So it's you know, there's not enough preparation there to really, in my mind, get Tiger to where he needs to be. He really, really likes to prepare.
Yeah.
But you know, I always thought, you know, he could do more. And his putting has been an issue. And one thing that I've noticed over the years when being with Tiger was he just didn't practice putting at the tournament sites as much as other players did. I mean, you take Phil Mickelson, for example, and I mean, I'd be at the Masters or the U.S. Open or whatever, and I'd watch how many putts Phil Mickelson hit. And he, you know, in the course of practice for a week, he'd practice so much, he might hit 750 putts. But in that same amount of time, Tiger might hit 100.
Wow.
And it's just a big, big difference in the amount of time put in. Mickelson would do all kinds of putting drills, and just to use him as an example, because other players do a lot more too. But then when I would see Tiger really prepare and practice, like one year for the British Open at St. Andrews, he practiced his putting and practiced and practiced and practiced, and he just putted phenomenal. And I always saw the correlation between the amount of time that he put in preparing and then the results that would come after that.
Do you think he'll win another major? Do you think, I mean, he's been winning this season. He hurt his elbow. Do you think he's going to be, I hate this word, back?
Oh, I think he's going to win a major, no doubt about it. I mean, I think he's going to win every tournament he plays in because he's still clearly the best player. But having said that, I mean, it's not easy to win majors. It's tough, and there's a lot of competition. There's more competition now than ever. You have to be fortunate. You have to get good breaks. I mean, he got a terrible break at Augusta. He would have, you know, I think he you know, arguably would have won the Masters this year. So you have to get lucky. You have to play great golf. You have to time it for one of the 4 weeks, and you've got all this other competition. And there's probably 100 guys now that if they have the round of their life or the week of their life, if you will, then you know they're going to be very difficult to beat. So I think I think it's hard, but. But, you know, he's going to win another major. There's no doubt about it.
I'm going to ask you a question. We're then going to take a break and come back. I'd like to ask you about NB, her accomplishment, the 3 consecutive major wins in the season, and somehow how little we're talking about it. You know, if this were on the men's tour, it'd be like the second, you know, it'd be Tiger Woods.
Right,
going
exactly.
For the fourth Grand Slam and all that. But one question that still bugs me about the Tiger Woods situation. Did nobody really know what he was doing before he busted himself?
Well, very, very few people knew, and the ones that didn't know are the ones that probably would have said something. So
yeah,
Steve Williams didn't know, I didn't know, and you know, I'm not, you know, positive as to how many people knew or you know exactly what they did know, but I know that, you know, Steve and I didn't know, and you know, we were two people that definitely would have said something to him.
Yeah.
But you know, that's just that you know, people that you know, do things like that and are carry things on like that, they're very good at it, and they hide things very well. So
you got it. I mean, that's addiction, and you talk about in your book very well about addiction and issues that people have. I really recommend that you read this book, The Big Miss. And we're going to talk about NB Park, slow pay, Top Golf. I think we might need a Top Golf in Hawaii. I'm hearing more and more about it and about the Haney Project and about how often we should take lessons, a beginner or someone who wants to really become competitive. If you wouldn't mind, we'll get into some of that too. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism now affects 1 in 88 children in the United States. Early diagnosis for autism makes all the difference. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please join me at the Els for Autism Golf Challenge this year. We are playing great courses throughout the United States. Fundraise $13,000 or more, and you can join me and some of my friends at the finale in Las Vegas. Thank you very much.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back. We have the great good fortune to have Hank Haney, swing coach to 200-plus professional golfers, in the studio with us, so to speak. He's calling in over the phone, of course. Mr. Haney, when you teach men and you teach women, you've taught LPGA players, of course, professional players, Tiger Woods. Is there a different way that you approach the teaching process with women than men?
Not really, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, women have different characteristics in terms of their swings that you see in terms of mistakes and obstacles. One is that ladies are inherently more flexible than men. Another is that they have a lower center of gravity, so with wider hips and narrower shoulders, and you know, that is a little different. But in terms of the mistakes that they make, it's no different. I mean, the golf swing is the golf swing, and when I, you know, was teaching, whether it be a male professional or a female professional, I would teach them all the same, to be honest with you.
You know, I have the hardest time with my left arm. Trying to get it straight.
Well, I mean, that's an issue. But then again, I mean, you know, there's been great players that have had their left arm a little bent.
Okay.
You know, as long as it straightens in the downswing, and usually it does, because just the you know, centrifugal force, I mean, kind of makes it straighten out. It might not be the biggest thing that people have to worry about.
I just thought I'd throw that in for myself. Okay. You on Twitter, you need to follow Hank Haney on Twitter, because there are times when he makes himself available to people and he solves little things, just like that little question, and he can give you the simplest of answer. And sir, I have to tell you, you know, you talk about the physics of the swing and the one plane, and it gets very, very complicated for someone like a recreational golfer. When I watch you, I see photographs of you teaching people, or I hear accounts of you teaching people. You make it very simple, and when I watch the Haney Project, you don't talk to these people, you know, like Rush Limbaugh and Michael Phelps and Ray Romano and Charles Barkley and Adam Levine and Sugar Ray Leonard. I don't see you doing this, the breakdown. There is a simple way to teach, right?
Well, I think so. I mean, some people think anything's complicated, and then other people like complicated, and some people, you know, want it somewhere in between. But the thing is, you know, my teaching has always gravitated more towards trying to be simpler and more easy to understand. And, you know, the most popular tips always for, you know, for forever in Golf Digest magazine have been the one-page tips. I mean, that's just what people like. They like simple and easy to understand, and as a general rule, I mean, that's the way that I try to keep it and make it so that, you know, people at any level can grasp what you're saying. A lot of times, you know, teachers like to hear themselves talk, so they complicate things a lot, and it makes them sound more knowledgeable. But I think if you make it simpler, for most people, it's a lot easier.
So how often do you suggest that someone get a lesson if they want to go out and have fun every couple of weeks?
Well, I mean, I think you want to take lessons on a regular basis. So whatever that would mean to you, but I would space them out, you know, based on what your commitment is. So if you're going to take two lessons a year, take one every 6 months. If you're going to take four lessons a year, take one every 3 months. But, you know, don't take four lessons 4 weeks in a row and then don't take another lesson the rest of the year. You know, space them out in between. And I think, you know, even for somebody that's really, really into it, I think once a month is fine for a lesson, but it just kind of keeps you on track and hopefully keeps you progressing and getting better.
Yeah, and then practice, of course, is important.
Well, I mean, you know, with no doubt about it. I mean, that is, and you know, a lot of people leave that part out.
Yeah, well, you were saying, you know, if you go and take a lesson for somebody and then you don't practice, you don't take that information and apply it to your game and practice it because the coach can't be with you all the time. And you can't blame the teacher if you're not trying to put it into practice.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be committed to what you're doing. You have to focus on what you're doing. And I always tell people, I mean, you have to have a plan. Most people just go out and hit balls. They don't really have a plan. They're really exercising. I mean, they're not really practicing. So if you want to get better, you have to have a plan. In order to make that plan, you have to be able to diagnose. And once you diagnose what somebody's problems are, then you can make a plan to fix it, and then you're going to get better.
We're talking with Hank Haney, swing coach to 200-plus professional golfers and author, of course, and he has his own television show, The Hank Haney Project. He has the Hank Haney International Junior Golf Academy. He is a very busy man because he has a 3-month-old son. And that's probably just, you know, that's where I'd like to be right now, at 57, have a 3-month-old and have all of that done in the back of my, be nicely established. Hey, who needs goals? I'm going to just have fun with my baby.
I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of thinking the same thing. It's been very nice.
Now, what about NB Park? This major, major accomplishment. Babe Zaharias did this. I mean, yeah. Babe Zaharias to me is the premier female athlete. I don't know of any other woman who went from one sport to another the way she could and accomplished so much and came back from so much to continue to accomplish. NB Park, now 3 consecutive major wins, going for the Grand Slam, some say, some of course right. With the Evian, right? I mean, of all years for this to happen in women's golf, what do you think of her accomplishment?
No, I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable. And you bring up, you know, a great point. I mean, there isn't that much that's being said about it. It's just incredible that anybody could, you know, win 3 majors in a row. As difficult as it is to just win one. But, you know, women's golf obviously doesn't get the publicity that the men do. And especially with the fact that, you know, there's just so many players from all over the world, and it's really a world tour now. So you know, that kind of makes it difficult to promote the sport, you know, and especially in the United States.
Yes.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, if you know, it was an American-born player that, you know, had won 3 majors in a row, then it might be different. But women's golf, you know, for sure, it doesn't get the attention that the men do. But these accomplishments are absolutely incredible.
Absolutely incredible. When she goes back to Korea, and she's going to go before she goes to the British Women's Open, they're going to just receive her like a hero.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's something that we don't see. You know, I say that as U.S., where it's very centric. we tend to look only at what's happening in the U.S. But whenever women from around the world win on the LPGA Tour, they are heralded as heroes when they come home, and they have thousands of people waiting for them at the airport, and everywhere they go, they're just the accolades follow. So it's exciting to see what she's accomplished and what she can. When you're watching Rory McIlroy, okay, is Rory McIlroy the next Tiger Woods or the next Phil Mickelson?
Oh, I mean, I don't think there's going to be another Tiger Woods. I mean, Tiger's just so absolutely incredible. His record is incredible. I mean, you know, the 6 years I helped Tiger, I mean, he won 45% of his tournaments. He's over 30%, I think, for his career. You know, just to put that in perspective, Jack Nicklaus won 12% of his tournaments. So you're just talking about someone that's on a level that I don't think we've ever seen or we will ever see again. You know, I think Rory McIlroy is an incredibly good player, and he's not having a very good year this year. But you know, in my mind, I mean, he's not to be confused for Tiger Woods. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, Rory at his best isn't incredible. And I think, you know, we saw that last year, that Rory at his best right now is probably, you know, better than anybody at his best, including Tiger. But the difference is the consistency and doing it over a long period of time and, you know, winning all these tournaments and, you know, not to mention 14 majors. I mean, you know, a player wins one major and like Rory did, they win it by a lot of shots. Everybody thinks, oh, he's going to win all these majors. And then they win another one. But you know what? That's a long way from 14 of them. Yeah. And 14's a long way from 18 of them. So it's not easy.
So what do you think with Rory? Is it just that he's having an off year? He just lost his equipment? What's going on with him?
I think it's all the above. I think it's changing equipment. I think it's expectations are really high and they're hard to live up to. I think statistically, you know, if you analyze his game, his greens and regulation, his putting statistics, all you analyze all his statistics, and there isn't anything that would make you think that he's going to dominate. You know, you analyze Tiger's statistics, and he's always been one of the best putters. He has great short game statistics, and you know, for most years, and he's not up there now, but you know, Tiger's about 35th in greens and regulation, but. You know, for most years that I helped him and for most years that Butch Harmon helped him, he was number one in greens regulation. So when you put those statistics together and then for years and years and years, Tiger was top 10 in driving distance. And you put those statistics together and you think, wow, that's just somebody that could dominate. Rory McIlroy doesn't have those statistics that lead you to believe that.
Yeah.
He has great wins, but great wins, you know, is one thing, and consistently doing it and you know, being number one statistically is something totally different.
Hank Caney's a member of the advisory staffs for Golf Digest, for Pure Grips, for Crocs, for Golfsmith Stores, for Sky Caddy, for Omega Watches, and for TaylorMade Golf. Let's give away right now some rocket balls, TaylorMade.
All right.
808-296-5467. That's 808-296-5467. And the ninth caller is going to win. All right, let's kind of switch it up a little bit here, and we want to grow the game, and doing that might help by speeding up the game, but we watch women's golf, for instance, and I'm shocked that we're doing when we're young, when we're doing five-hour rounds, and it's...
Well, they were 5 hours at the men's, too. I mean, it's not just the women. I mean,
I'm glad you said that, sir.
You know, you bring up a good point, and I don't understand how the USGA can have commercials like that and tell everybody to play faster, but we're going to play so slow. I mean, to me, golf is never going to speed up until the, you know, professional players and meaning the LPGA and the PGA Tour set an example. And really, it'd only take one of them, because if the women would play in 4 hours, then you know, the men would be spurred on to play in 4 hours or vice versa. Or, you know, the USGA could take the lead and say, okay, all the U.S. Open is going to play in, you know, 3 hours and 50 minutes. I mean, they're playing threesomes and twosomes.
Yeah, they could do it, too, with that time box that they have to meet.
Sure.
You know? Right. I mean, if they put that in play for the big opens, but then they say, well, no, this is where we really test the game, and so it's going to be longer, and that's just like, wait a minute. They have to be able to do it and do it fast. That's all I've got to say.
Well, they just had to come up with something to say when they knew it was going to take too long, so that was the best thing they could come up with. You know, but and then that's just the way it is. But you know, I mean, you're right. I mean, we got to play faster. We and that's, you know, the one thing about golf. I mean, if I think if golf was invented, you know, last year, it wouldn't be an 18-hole game. It'd be a 12-hole game where it didn't take so long, and we didn't use as much land, and we didn't use as much water, and it was easier to build golf courses, and it was a 2.5-hour game. But, it's 18 holes, and somehow we got to figure out a way to speed up.
And people don't want to play 9, which is very strange to me. The time for 9 was a really good idea, but I get so much pushback on the whole concept of just 9 holes. But what seems to be really catching on, and I noticed on Twitter that you had fun at Top Golf.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, and the great thing about it is that there's so many people that aren't really golfers that are there. I mean, they're the beginners. I mean, they're people that are just getting introduced to the game, and you hit and there's these targets out there and Topgolf has two or three levels that you can hit from. So people on the second level and the third level are guaranteed to get the ball airborne because all they have to do is just roll it off the edge. But they think they enjoy it, and it introduces them to the game. It's like the introduction to the game of golf has always been miniature golf. Well, now it's Top Golf too, and it just we were there last night, my wife's birthday, and at Top Golf, and it was just like the place was packed. And there's just so many people there, enjoying the game. You think, wow, this would be a great way to grow the game, and it doesn't take that long.
No, it's great. You can go for dinner, and yeah. Play. It's kind of like going to a fancy bowling alley.
Well, that's kind of how they score it. No, your scores come up on the screen, and you get the balls all have chips in them, so you hit it into this target, and it knows exactly that it was you hitting, and it went into that target, and you get X amount of points for. How far the target is out there and how close you got it to the center. And it's kind of scored a different way, but it's just really enjoyable. And people are having just a lot of fun. And it's great to see the game of golf, kind of being promoted that way.
Excellent, excellent. So we've had Charles Barkley, Ray Romano, Rush Limbaugh, Michael Phelps, the foursome of Adam Levine, Sugar Ray Leonard, Angie Everhart, and Mario Batali, the chef. Who's next on the Haney Project?
Oh, I mean, well, I don't know. We're working on that.
But, okay.
It's been a lot of fun, I'll tell you that much. I mean, it's absolutely, been incredible. And I've had just so many great experiences and just had so much fun, being with all those great, achievers.
I loved watching Michael Phelps school you on getting more involved in swimming. You're going to have to apply yourself, Coach.
Oh, well, I mean, I appreciate that. I mean, that was a thrill for me. I mean, to be able to get in the pool with Michael and have him give me some swimming tips. I mean, that was like, I'm like, wow, I'm pinching myself.
As is he, that he gets to learn golf from you.
Yeah.
And it's great talking with you. Hank Haney, it's a real pleasure, real pleasure starting my Saturday with you. Thanks a lot.
Wow, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I hope we'll talk again.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this. Greg DeAndrea. Now, he's, for all of us who want to go to Top Golf, now that you heard about it, it's so much fun on the mainland. If you're there, go find one. I hope we open one in Hawaii because it'd be great. He's the founder of Golf Stinks. And we're going to talk about, the bottom line. Sometimes golf stinks, but we still come back and we still have fun. It's just you kind of commiserate about it. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
They say a test drive is worth 1,000 words, and the 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance give the fuel-sipping smooth drive, comfort, tech, and music you deserve. Acura's loyalty and conquest programs will provide $2,500 toward the purchase or lease of your 2014 RLX. Come in or call TJ Jones at 942-4555 for your private appointment. The Acura RLX will be the best part of your day at Acura of Honolulu at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. we know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star, Star Protection Agency.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
All right, here's an excerpt from What Is Golf Stinks? For too long, average hacks who represent the vast majority of golfers have been searching for a community in which they can feel comfortable, a community that doesn't pass judgment, that doesn't push zany game-improving equipment on you, and doesn't overwhelm you with golf instructional tips that typically leave you feeling more confused and frustrated. Yes, indeed. This is your site. It's called golfstinks.com, and this is Greg DeAndrea. I will always want to call you founder, Greg. There's no, it just can't get around that. But you're a co-founder, right?
I am a co-founder with three of my golf buddies. So that, how much better can you do than that?
I think
a lot of fun.
I think that's fun. Are you on a speakerphone?
I am not. I'm on a headset. Is it giving you some feedback issues?
Yeah, a little bit, and you sound far, far away. Can you get a little...
Is that better?
Oh, gosh, yes. Now he's in the clubhouse. I mean, when you're not in the clubhouse, when you're not in it and you're kind of outside, it sounds like you're just on the other side of the door, and you're just kind of yelling in.
Well, I'm usually yelling, so that part is right.
But. I love your picture. So this site, you come up with a really good idea, music to a golfer's ear. You know, you decided you're going to start a new tradition in golf.
Yeah.
It's going to, sir, about holidays. Let's talk about, you call up a golf course, and they say, hey, oh, in fact, I can say this. At Ko'olina today, they're wide open between 11 and 1. So anytime you want to play at Ko'olina between 11 and 1, give them a call. But for a golf course to say that they're wide open all day, that typically happens on holidays. What's your solution?
Well, I mean, I think that, Pete was one of the guy that wrote that article yesterday. But he was really just talking about how you can really take advantage of some of these opportunities that are out there for us golfers that just want to go out and play around and not be rushed by the group behind us. But, yeah, I think you've got a good idea there yourself, Daniel. I think we should have some kind of computer algorithm that figures out when courses are going to be open and they have a list of names of people that they know will come out and play, and they can just kind of send you a text message or something saying, course is open, come on out. And
yes.
They'll fill it up and they don't have to... to suffer through that day without getting any tee times in.
Well, a lot of people don't think that they should go play on a holiday. Like, you know, the 4th of July was perfect. You go out and you play 9 holes with a couple of guys, a couple of girls, a couple of everybody. And then, you know, you can have lunch with them and say, hey, great getting some exercise with you. Got some fresh air. Spent some good quality time with my friends. I'm going to go see my family now. Right? That's what I liked about Pete's idea, that there's no reason why on a holiday you can't go, and holidays are great days because there's hardly anybody on the course on holidays. They'd love to have you. Except in Hawaii, sometimes golf courses do get really busy. Yeah, so maybe that won't work here. But I know it'll work if you're listening, you know, online. It's a really, really good idea. Now, if you sign in with... people can do golf course reviews at Golf Stinks. Tell me, why did you create this?
Well, you know, I think we've realized that we needed a community, as you said, and you were reading right from our about page there.
Yeah.
And really, we recognize that 99% of the golfers out there are never going to make the pro tour. And there's a lot of frustration that comes along with that. There's some people that are very good, but not good enough. There's other people that are just terrible, but there's something about the game that keeps them coming back for more, whether they hit a great shot or have a good round, or the fact that they just, like in my case, I never really hit a great shot or have a great round, but in my case, I just love this game, and I love everything about it, being outdoors, the camaraderie with your friends. So what we've decided is, hey, you know what, there's a real market for this, right? There's people out there that want to be able to feel good about playing golf, regardless of the fact that they may shoot, you know, 106. on any given day. And so that's what we've done. We've come up with a couple of things with this site. One is it's obviously a blog, and that's really where it's taken off. And we write about things that are can be appreciated by an average hack. Like my post on Wednesday was called "Golf Shopping on the Toilet," and I think that's self-explanatory.
Wait, I wanted you to bring that up. Go shopping. My on-air engineer or producer, he's over here going, "Huh? What? You got right here? golf shopping on the toilet? Huh?
Right.
Now, tell us where you got to break it down just a little bit here. Now you got to explain what happened.
I talk about that in the post. I received my Heartland America catalog, and if you don't know what that is, it's just that it's like Sky Mall for your home. Except it's not as cool as the Sky Mall catalog, right? It has, gadgets and zany things. And so so this is a very, very satire, right, this post. It's talking about how it's great reading material when you're on the porcelain throne. So
right.
That's what I was going on about. And I found some golf items in my Heartland America catalog that I just had to write about. And so we talk about the kinds of deals you can get in that magazine, and
it's great. It's a great post because see he came across a Powerbuilt driver. I think it was for like $29.95.
Yeah, $29.95, and unbelievably, Danielle, they were out of stock on them. They not out of stock. They were overstocked on them, unbelievably. And so now they have to sell them on the old Heartland America's magazine.
For $29.95.
You can find your illegal belly putter on there, your illegal golf balls that if you want to partake in that sort of behavior, by all means, you can do that right here. So I kind of highlighted a few choice items that I thought would be
interesting and amusing. That's what I love about the page. Did you accept, guest bloggers who find interesting little commentary?
We really don't that much. We've been up for, it'll be 4 years next month. It'll be our fourth birthday, and we've actually had one guest blogger.
Oh.
And that post was fashion that's gone wrong on the golf course. And so I thought that was really, it worked well. But we get asked all the time. I literally get 2 or 3 emails a week from people that want a guest post. And we just have such a routine with what we do, and we're such, we have such a niche audience that we've known how to talk to them.
Yes, I understand.
For example, on Monday, Chris posted about how D.H. Lee flipped off someone in the audience. And we're turning that into, we don't write about the pro tours normally. When we do, it's about something like this. So we turn that into, well, would a bad boy be good for the tour? Someone that gets booed walking down every fairway. Would that sell more tickets at the gate?
You know what he said? That gesture, the salute with one finger was actually meant for his golf ball.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't actually the audience that he was doing that to. It was the shot that he made was so bad, and the ball reacted so poorly that he had to do that. That gesture.
Well, I think the PGA Tour is missing out on some publicity here. I think they could be capitalizing on this. So that was the idea behind Chris's post. We take stories like that in the tour, and we look at them from a different angle, and we kind of put them in a light that, someone like an average hack can relate to. Like, hey, I understand getting mad enough that I want to flip off my ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So that's part of the site. And the other half of the site is a social media site for average hacks. So you can go in and you can sign up just like you would on another social media site and create your profile. And we have a golf bio where you can talk about how many balls you typically lose and what kind of garage sale clubs you have, and tell your stories about the worst round you ever had or the best round you ever had or whatever it is. And you can connect with people there. And then you can also connect with our database of 18,000 golf courses in the U.S. plus a good amount of golf courses internationally. You can go ahead and if you played a course, like I was in Hawaii last year, I played Kapalua. So I went on and I wrote my my review of Kapalua. I was able to rate it right on my site. And then we're able to put some pictures up underneath that so you can see the pictures that are associated with your review. And then the more people that review that course, it averages out an average score. So hopefully if enough people join and start reviewing, we can actually have some scores for these courses so that when you're ready to go somewhere, you can look and see what other people have written and said and see whether you should play that course or not. So that's where we're we're trying to push it to that direction.
I like it. So this is our emphasis now is on golf courses and reviewing courses. And so as a member, I do get to have my say about something. I can blog.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can write what I thought about Kapalua and then put pictures of the course and say, you know, you really should go play this, or I give it a 4-star because, yeah, the service wasn't all what I expected.
Right, and you have those categories to break it down, so we don't just say, well, overall, we have grooming and hospitality, like you were saying. We also have one for difficulty, which we base on how many balls you've lost. So if you lose an entire, you know, box as opposed to one sleeve, it's going to be harder than another one. And we also have one of our things is scenery, so like the picturesqueness of the course. So we have all these different categories that end up coming into one final score. So we put some thought behind this, you know, and we're trying to see if it'll catch on.
I like it. It's golfstinks.com. Very simple.
Absolutely.
And I'm a member. And I think, you know, get on there, get your review, and have your say about whatever course it was. Or, you know, for that matter, you know, what your round was like, just your game. Is there any hope for me?
Exactly. I mean, I'd love to see conversations back and forth like that with folks.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we're starting an EWGA chapter here. And, you know, EWGA is for men and women. It's not, I mean, it's for women and men, I should put it that way, because it was started by a woman for women, but men are invited to join, too. And we got together. And it's about having fun, golf-related events to socialize, network, have just fun playing golf, and then having dinner together.
You're talking about the executive women's. You know, we actually wrote a whole post about that last year.
You did?
I have a friend that I used to work with outside of my golf-related activities, and she actually was part of the organization, and we wrote about that. And
cool.
She got to travel around and do some of their tournaments and things because she was pretty good. So
cool. I'd like to have her on to talk about EWGA.
And absolutely. I can arrange that for you, Dan.
This is called networking on the radio while we're
exactly.
talking. Greg DeAndrea, golfstinks.com. So much fun talking to you every time. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Aloha.
Aloha. And come back to Hawaii so we can play a round of golf together, okay?
I'm fine. You got to get me out there.
Okay.
It's not exactly cheap from the East Coast.
Yeah, this is a good point. All right. We'll work on it. We'll be back. We'll be back right after this with Kate Hughes. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The Acura RLX is a beautiful sedan, and now there's the Acura 2014 MDX, a family wagon. The 2014 Acura MDX is just out. It is lighter, stronger, quicker, more fuel efficient. The MDX Premium Grade 7 passenger wagon featuring a more subtle ride and lighter steering, more aerodynamic, more room inside, more fuel efficient, and of course with special Acura leasing and financing available upon approved credit, you can have one. It's the Acura 2014 MDX. For years, the term all new has been abused and incorrectly applied in the lexicon of automotive jargon. This is from wheelbasemedia.com. I have not seen this car yet, but they say this is exactly the right term. All new, the 2014 Acura MDX. Premium grade 7 passenger wagon shares nothing with its predecessor, breaks new ground in content, technology, and fuel efficiency. You gotta see it at Acura of Honolulu. That's 777 Ala Moana Boulevard.
Yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. Okay, a couple of things. TaylorMade's having a demo day, and they're having it today at Raw Hawaiian. That's at 10 o'clock this morning. That's on Oahu. That's TaylorMade. And congratulations, Len of Kalihi. You won TaylorMade golf balls, the rocket balls. We were talking, of course, earlier with Hank Haney, who's on the board of TaylorMade. Let's give away some more because we had all of our phone lines tied up with the two people who were either on the phone or waiting to be on the show. So, one more time, 808-296-5467. It shouldn't be so brutally difficult to get through. 808-296-5467, and you will win TaylorMade rocket balls. And now, Kate Hughes, former LPGA player, victory in Japan, two top 10 finishes on the LPGA, teaching professional, focusing now on the mental game, an ambassador for the LPGA Players, a reach-out program for the rookies on tour, director of women's golf at BunkersParadise.com, writer and reviewer for the site, and she also wrote the foreword to Tanya Brown's book about her sister, Nicole Brown Simpson. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Wow, good morning. Thank you very much. All that. I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on golf shopping from the toilet, okay?
I just decided that
I'm now going to add a new title. I'm now going to do mental coaching from the toilet.
Hey, you never know.
You
get the most attention from a person at that moment. They are definitely focused.
They do say that water is very, very soothing, and if you're going to do mental imagery, you're supposed to do a shower. Let's go for the toilet. Sorry, just had to go there.
It's okay. It's okay. Now, you're when you were talking about writing, I was reading this fabulous book called Wonder Girl, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea how powerful Babe Zaharias was. Until I read the book Wonder Girl. Okay, it's Don Vanatta wrote it, and it's a fabulous book, and you need to read this book, because you will feel so good about your life once you read this book. It wasn't easy in the 30s and 40s, kids, and mm-hmm. the 50s, you know what I'm saying, growing up? They really had to work hard for very little, and sometimes I find we complain an awful lot when we have such plenty. And her whole life, as you wrote about, Kate Hughes at BunkersParadise.com, really nice. I mean, you condensed everything and focused on, she was your idol growing up. Tell us about how you felt about Babe Zaharias.
You know, I guess just my mom and dad, both of them were athletes, and my mom spoke about Babe a lot. And my parents are a little bit older, and they grew up watching her and hearing about her, and it was just a common theme in our home about the Babe and just the fact of what she's done, what she's accomplished as a woman. And it wasn't just golf. I mean, that was sort of a later pickup
mm-hmm.
for her, but just her demeanor, the way she handled herself, you know, it's something that I wanted to be like. And I don't know if it was my mom and dad saying, you know, this is how you should act, but just reading about her, listening about her, my grandmother telling me about her, made me just realize, you know, that just athleticism, but not just the mere, you know, the athletic physical ability, the mental zone that she was in every single sport. I mean, from billiards to bowling to, I think, crocheting. I mean, my goodness. I mean, anything she put her mind to, she could do. And that just, you know, proves to the world and anybody that you set your mind, you can accomplish anything. And just all my life, just looking at, you know, her and listening and little, you know, reading a little bit of bits about her, just continued to refocus me on not being the angry Irish girl on a golf course.
You will love the book. You will absolutely, Wonder Girl is the name
mm-hmm,
of it.
I've heard much about it.
It's really, really good. Kate, you were honored to be inducted into the Minnesota Hall of Fame in your first year of eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
You were inducted. Why?
I paid them off. No,
yeah,
I'm just kidding.
No.
They inducted me just by all the records for my athleticism and golf and two back-to-back Big Ten championships, All-American.
Yes.
You know, things that I have accomplished that many have not.
Yes. All Big Ten teams, 3 years,
yep.
Many records that you still hold for your competitive days, the University of Minnesota. Really exciting to see that you take what you got through your hard work and your achievements and, you know, trying to emulate what the Babe did,
mm-hmm.
And moving forward and using that to help people in the game where they might feel they're a little bit weaker, you know, like
mm-hmm.
they might feel like they're not a part of the whole. And I'm talking about anytime somebody graduates from one level to another, let's say a high school football player comes out
mm-hmm.
as a senior, right, and he joins up with some school in college, he thinks he's top dog because he was as a senior, but now
mm-hmm.
he's nobody. He's the rookie. He's at the bottom of the pecking order. And that sometimes happens when young women join a tour like the LPGA. They're not in the main circle. They're not being talked about. They don't have the focus like a Paula Creamer or NB Park. They've worked hard for it. They weren't
mm-hmm.
always the focus either. But you reach out and help those women, don't you?
I do, and I love to grab the young, you know, I say boys and girls, you know, when they're in their early high school, just to help them understand that, you know, you do. I mean, I can tell you just from experience, going from high school, I mean, winning the state championship, I know Minnesota, but winning the state championship by 14 shots, being undefeated my entire high school career outside of two state championships my sophomore and junior year, and then stepping into collegiate golf was like, whoa. You know, then I wasn't the thing. I wasn't it. You know, I was, you know, the bridesmaid. I wasn't winning. I wasn't doing the things that I thought I could do. And you have to just reverse and go back and you know, you can't just build a home throwing a roof on. You've got to pour some cement. And you've got to build from the ground up. And you're right. You are at the bottom of the pecking order. And then when you graduate from college and you choose to go on the tour, you know, I like to help them do that transition, too, because, again, you're not the top dog, you know, finishing third, double, you know, back-to-back Big Ten titles, you know, all this, that, and, you know, can of whatever soup. You're just nothing because there's people out there that are playing, you know, wonderful golf. So you have to not start over, but just take what you have and build upon it. And one of them, go ahead.
I just find that, let me, just, I'm just going to say that I have no experience on that level, LPGA,
mm-hmm.
competitive level, but I have experience in life,
mm-hmm.
in walking to an arena where the competition is intense. What you find is that you may not succeed, let's say athletically, you didn't score,
mm-hmm.
but that's not really where it hurts the most. Where it hurts the most is when you walk in and you feel the mental game that somebody plays against you, the mind games that are played against you for, and then you know, it's a bullying on a very sophisticated level. And that's something that I think the rookie has to learn to cope with. And that's what you help with, I think.
Yeah. And you're spot on that. It's the veterans, if you will, it is so at a high level of intimidation. But sometimes the veterans don't even know they're doing it. They're just, they're walking, they're talking, and they exude that confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And these rookies see it, and they just sometimes just swallow themselves up into a shell because they don't think they can do it or they're not sure. But that's where you have to stay in your presence. You know how when you look at all the Breeders' Cup and you look at all the horses and they've got blinders on? That's what these rookies need to do, is they need to stay within themselves. It's called like self-regulation. Control what they can control, which is them. They can't control anything else around them. They can't control how someone looks at them. They can control their reaction to that. And unfortunately, some of the rookies, and I'll tell you what, just watching tennis this morning, Lisitsi, I can't even get her name right, in the Wimbledon, you could tell how nervous she was. She was allowing everything to affect her, instead of just playing in the present in that moment in her game and what she knew she could do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I try to do is with all these, the golfers. I actually have a couple of lacrosse players now. I mean, my business is growing just through, because athletes are all athletes. And you have to practice and you have to work 50% of the time on the mental side of the game to be the great athlete or to reach the goals you want to reach. If you're doing 90% physical and that 10% mental, you're never going to achieve it. And that's just, you can ask any athlete in the world and any sport who has exceeded at a high level. NB Park is one of them. You know, right now she is just on, she's scary. She's really scary. And it's not because she's any physically better than anybody else. She's in this mental zone. I mean, if you read about her and you listen to her, she's just like, I can't explain it. And that's what being in the zone is. She's so focused on her each and every shot through imagining exactly the way she wants to hit it, and she executes it. And if it's a good shot, great. If it's a bad shot, great. She does not react.
Yeah, it's really quite perfect. She doesn't react emotionally. She,
mm-hmm.
Right? And that's where so many of our problems come from, the emotional reaction and how we carry ourselves after something happens, how we, what our challenge is next. What are we going to do to fix what we just did, whether it was, you know, a mishit? Am I going to dwell on the fact that I mishit, or am I just going to walk over to the ball and deal with it at that moment, as she had to do when she was in the trees?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Right? Instead of going through the trees and doing something really exotic, she just took her medicine and hit it sideways, got it back on the fairway, and then went forward. You got to do that sometimes.
Yeah. The bottom line is never how good the good shots are. It's really how good your not-so-good shots are. And the one thing that I coach to is what I call triple C or C-cubed, is calm, cool, confidence. And what that means basically is never let the outside world see you react in any way. And as you watch MB, you're right. She took her medicine. It's not like she played stellar that last round. She just kept in the present, kept trying, kept in her game plan, did not get angry, did not react, did not get overly excited. You know, it all stays within. And again, that's self-regulation, because any one of those things, it's like a pie. I mean, you could cut pieces out, and if you get negative, there's another piece gone. If you react to, you know, holing out on a hole-in-one, that can actually turn it around in a negative way. You just have to stay this calm, cool, collected, and confident, you know what I mean?
Right. Hold that excitement for just a little while later.
Got it.
That's not easy. All right, we are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. Those are the radio stations we're on. In addition, of course, we're at RadioGolfClub.com, streaming and podcast. If you'd like to sign up for the RSS and get that fed to you whenever it happens, it's available. Or you can go to Stitcher. It's a really cool app for your phone. I don't think it matters what operating system you're using. It's called Stitcher. It does not store on your phone, does not take up any memory. It streams right through it. Or, of course, you can go to iTunes as well. And for Vision for Success, Kate Hughes, that's her website. Vision for, with an E, Success. It's kind of cool, though, as you say, that other sports, you know, because mental game is the mental game, and how you handle yourself in a sport, it doesn't matter whether you're playing lacrosse or playing golf or swimming. It's all the same, and how you handle things, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you can go as far as, and this might sound odd to you, but Apollo Antonono, skating. So you're not like, you know, it's a sport, but he actually visualizes, get this, exactly how a skate's going to hit the ice, what kind of a mark it's going to leave, and the shavings that are going to come off his skate.
Oh, I get that. Yes.
Yep. I mean, so detailed that when it actually does happen and he goes around and around and around, it's as though he's done it before.
Yeah.
And that's across the board in all sports.
Yeah. You know, if you've done any skating at all, even if it's just on a lake that's frozen somewhere, when you
mm-hmm.
get to watch Olympic skating, you kind of sort of put yourself into their body, even though you're not there and you're not capable
mm-hmm.
of doing what they're doing, but you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty of it. One day I want to be able to, like, feel the golfer. I wouldn't feel so...
Be the golfer.
Be the golfer,
know.
Right. Mm-hmm. We are going to congratulate our winner, Brian of Waipahu. You have won the TaylorMade Rocket Balls. And we're always really happy that TaylorMade makes it possible for us to have so much fun and give prizes away for absolutely no other reason than because we want to. Kate Hughes, what is your favorite thing to do? You do so many different things. Yeah, I mean, you're starting off a new Twitter. It's not easy to do that. You've written the foreword to Tanya Brown's book about her sister, Nicole Brown Simpson. You're writing and reviewing things. You're director of women's golf. You've got your academy where you teach.
And I've got a 3.5-year-old.
And you have a 3.5-year-old, and you just got back from Europe. Tell me where you went.
Went to London. Actually, we were down raising alpacas with my teammate from college who is English down in the south of England. We went to London, and then we went to Madrid.
You were raising what?
Alpacas. Yeah, well,
It's like a movie.
Well, that's sort of what I guess my roommate slash teammate, she and her husband raise alpacas.
That's fab. That's fab. And, I mean, it's a great thing to do.
She left golf to do that. Fantastic.
And I understand that it's soothing. It's like farming. They're wonderful, like llama creatures, right?
Yes.
Right?
They're beautiful. My daughter loved it.
Yeah, and they're great to be around, and their wool, if you will, brings a lot of money. It's prized for what it you can make out of it, so I think it's terrific, but it just sounds like a movie, Raising Arizona, Raising Alpacas.
Well, kind of. But I tell you, you ask the question, what I like to do is, I like to make people laugh. I really do, and I like to help people. I'll help the little old lady cross the street. I stopped the other day to help a lady get her stuff in her car from Costco. Those are the things I like to do in life. I know it sounds stupid, but
no,
God made me that way, and this is kind of what I do in this Bunker's Paradise. We've launched. I'm now the director of women's golf. We launched it's BP Golfing Girls. That's our Twitter account, and I'll be running that, and the forward to Tanya Brown's book, which will be coming out, I think, they're making the decision, how books are, either fall or spring, but that's a whole different topic.
No, I know, and I'd like to save that for another day, because it's really serious. The reason I knew you went to Europe, and I thought you went to England. My next guest is, I think, in Coventry, where the Farm Foods British Par 3 Championship is going to be held. And this fascinates me because we don't have any par 3 championships that I know of, do we?
No, but there is, I think, there's been I've seen it on Twitter, but I can't remember the name of it, but a par 3 tournaments. They're trying to build this par 3 golf tournament.
I'm going to talk with Rick Cressman about that, about the par 3 championship. I mean, they've got Sam Torrence, Tony Jacklin, Ian Woosnan, they're all going to be there. They're all playing in this par 3 championship. What's the hardest hole to play under par? Is it not the par 3?
The par 3s. You have to hit the green.
Yeah. So
you don't have a choice. Right. You got one shot at it.
So it's quite exciting. I don't think people give it as much credit as they should. And
Talk about mental imagery. Got to get it right.
Got to get it right. Got to get that ball on the green. And Kate Hughes, thanks for being on the show. We'll talk again soon when your book comes out.
All right. Thanks, Danielle. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and Rick Cressman coming up next.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911, 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay. where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Well, welcome back. I just want you to know about the upcoming Elves for Autism Golf Challenge. It's going to be held on Thursday, July 18th, sorry for the late notice, at Hawakalei Country Club. It's one of over 20 events being staged at top-rated courses across the U.S. and Canada. Of course, it's part of Ernie Els' fundraising to create an incredible center where people can find all the resources they need to cope with helping to raise a child with autism. And it's confusing for a lot of parents because sometimes they don't know it. They don't know what's going on. And Ernie Els, of course, had that experience. And so what he's done is tremendous, a tremendous outreach. And he's raising a lot of money. And you can have fun over at Hawakalei. And, you know, part of your money that you're having fun spending is going to be for this center. Let's go to Coventry. It just sounds so romantic, doesn't it? And there's something about it. And there's a really romantic place that you can stay. It's gorgeous. It's called Nailcott Hall. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but let's go and ask the man who does. He's the owner and the operator, and that's Rick Kressman. Welcome to the show.
Hi there, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. Did I say Nailcott right?
Well, we tend to say Nailcott.
Nailcott.
Nailcott. Yeah, it comes from a Flemish word going way back to Doomsday time. And if you can imagine the days of people making chainmail armor,
yes,
you could understand why they'd come up from a farrier's operation way back in those days, making nail coats. And so that's what it stems from. They were making armory for people.
It's a beautiful, beautiful hotel. It's gorgeous.
It goes back to 1640.
1640? Wow. Mm. I want to go there. Beautiful rooms. Spacious, too.
There's a ready invite here for you. It's been lovely to finally make contact after having fairly regular bits of contact on Facebook to actually talk to you. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, it's on the outside, you have, I mean, it's like, you know, going to Coventry. And then have you done a lot of innovation, renovation to the inside?
It's not required a lot of work inside the old part of the building, but we built, going back now nearly 20 years ago, when I rescued it actually out of bankruptcy, I built a leisure complex with swimming pool and gymnasium and extra function room and extra bedrooms and so on. In the process, we actually, because we're in the green belt area here in England, we dug a great big hole in the ground going down about sort of 20 feet, and a lot of that sandstone and marl that came out of the ground was then used outside on what was a very flat field to start with and used to create a lot of the landscaping and the shaping to start creating the absolutely wonderful little par 3 9-hole golf course that we have where we hold the Farm Foods British Par 3 Championship now.
It's wonderful. I mean, it's looking at the pictures, I want to post all of them on Facebook. I mean, it's gorgeous. Like you said, each picture is like a poster. It's like it's a perfect stamp picture. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean,
who designed
it? Well, I designed the course.
Oh.
And I've worked personally, physically on it, as well as designing it, actually trying to make it a Warwickshire answer to the par 3 course at Augusta. The two courses are virtually the same length. Augusta's 1,060 yards. This is 1,048 yards. And as it happens, I'm a dual national. I'm an American that was born in England, and both my parents are American, and so the trophy that we give at the British Par 3 Championship is a Bobby Jones, lovely, beautiful Bobby Jones bronze that the winner takes away each year, as well as the money, that's my little kind of cross-Atlantic link, really, I suppose.
That's terrific. I don't know what you'd call me. I was, you know, not both English, but born in the States. My father's from England, in the Birmingham area. So Farm Foods, British Par 3 Championship. A star-studded lineup. I mean, we've got Tony Jacklin, Sam Torrance, Ian Woosnan. These guys, of course, Ryder Cup winners all. Amazing men. Now, you get together with these golfers, then we have celebrities, and then the amateurs. How does this par 3 championship work?
We have a real mixture. We have a mixture. Over the 4 days, we actually have two celebrity am team days, one on the first day on the 6th of August, one on the last day on the 9th of August, which at the end of play each day, we have a lovely black tie dinner, and the teams come with their wives or girlfriends, and we have a wonderful party each night, and we raise a lot of money for the Rainbow's Hospice, which helps to care for terminally ill children suffering from cancer and so on in Leicester. And then in between the 6th and the 9th, the 2 days on the 7th and the 8th of August, is when we have the actual main British Par 3 Championship, which is run as a pro-am, rather like the ATT down at Pebble Beach. Dunhill Links up in Scotland.
Yeah.
So each pro player has got an amateur partner, and there's a team partner score running as well as the individual professional score.
Yeah.
And I think this year, as well as those three Ryder Cup captains that you mentioned, we've got, I think in total, about 12 past Ryder Cup players playing. And the really lovely thing about the tournament is that it covers all ages. The players range from, this year, the youngest professional will be Charlie Hull, who's just started her career on the Ladies European Tour and had 5 second places in her first 5 events.
Yeah.
And has maybe a very good chance of getting into the Solheim Cup team this year. And Alison Nicholas, who won the Ladies US Open Championship, I think about 15 years back, and obviously it helped win the Solheim Cup. She'll be here as well.
Yeah.
So this is an event that covers players from Charlie at 17 to Larry Loretti, the US Seniors Open champion from back in 1990, I'm thinking one or two, at sort of 74 years of age. So there's players of all ages, and current European Tour players like Robert Rock and Mark Warren and so on are there with, the guys from the Seniors Tour, that are the top Senior Tour player from England, Carl Mason, and past record holder Tommy Horton. It's a wonderful mixture, but on the short course, they've all got a chance of winning.
Yeah, I was just talking, you probably heard us while you were waiting, about the fact, you know, a par 3 championship, it's not something that's common. We don't hear about it in the States much at all.
I think that I've had many meetings with people from the PGA over here in England, and I guess I've been on a mission for a lot of years now. I mean, I've developed the course over the last 22 years. I relauunched the tournament in 1998. It originated back in 1933, the year before the Masters even started. The Professional Short Course Championship, as it was called, started back at the Palace Hotel in Torquay. And people like Ted Ray and Harry Vardon, Alex Hurd, competed in it. And a really wonderful friend of mine, who sadly is no longer with us now, Charlie Ward, played in it. And also a very good friend of his, Bert Gadd, who won the Irish Open back in 1937 and the French Open in 1933. Those guys came and helped me to relaunch the Par 3 Championship in 1998 when they were sort of 87, 88 years old. And we miss them a lot. They were very, very special people.
Yeah. And tell us about the strategy. I mean, it changes completely when it's all par 3 holes.
Well, like you just said, actually, just before I came on, you know, I'm a big believer. At the end of the day, the toughest holes on a golf course are the par 3 holes, and I think just about every pro on the planet will say that. sadly, I think ever since, dare I say it, John Daly hit the highlights with 300-yard-plus drives, the world has been obsessed with length and distance and lost sight, maybe, of short game skill. And I know that Tony Jacklin is a huge supporter of this being the most important part of the game, the part of the game that wins you events. This is the part of the game that really, really defines the winners against the also-rans. And you only have to look at Tiger Woods' performances on the course that maybe a lot of wayward driving, what's got him out of trouble? What's given him the results? The wins have come because he's had the absolutely best short game on the game, on the planet. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really, really been able to beat everyone up as far as the short game's concerned in his putting.
So you also have, like, if somebody wanted to play, if someone were an amateur and they went over from the States to, play in the Farm Foods British Par 3 Championship, it's fun, too. You have dinners and cocktail parties and garden parties. Tell us.
I mean, we organize, we put on a completely full-blown sort of tented village, the likes of, the same that you'd see in, any European tour or PGA tour event with sort of, catering village. And, we have American Golf here this year doing their retailing and so on. We have Harvey Nichols, a big retailer here. We have massage and treatments for people, some of our celebrities that need their aching bones to be cared for during the tournament. They go in and get rubbed down and organized so they can get out and play the next day, because some of them are here playing all 4 days. There's a lot of fun. And on the Wednesday night, the after the end of the first day's play in the main pro-am, we always have a very casual, relaxed players party, which is not black tie, just a totally relaxed one. But we always have a sort of Q&A, and this year we've got Brian Barnes involved in the Q&A, as well as Sam Torrance and Ian Woosnam and Tony.
Excellent.
And I'm also expecting, as a real big thrill, I've got Byron Casper coming to play, Billy Casper's son.
Wow.
And Billy is doing a piece of video footage for us to be able to include in the Q&A session on that night. And we're hoping to ask a few things about what it was like for the American team when Brian Barnes beat Jack Nicklaus twice in one day back in 1975. So, we're looking for a lot of fun things. Brian Barnes loved America and loved playing golf there. And Brian has had a very tough 12 years, not being able to play because of his arthritic condition. Mm. He's in remission from that, and he's able to play in the tournament. Last year, he came and played in the Par 3 Championship, played a professional event for the first time in 12 years, and he won the Super Seniors section.
Fabulous.
and he shot level par both days. He finished 11th in the tournament overall.
Excellent.
And he finished up telling me, as far as he was concerned, that the course at Nelcote was an absolute gem of a short course, and that Augusta doesn't compare with it. So,
bravo,
you know, I'm happy that people will say those lovely things, but Brian's just had heart surgery, and his wife's also been suffering pretty serious illness as well. And we're really looking forward to seeing Brian back again this year. He's a real larger-than-life character. He's so much fun.
We're talking with owner and operator of Nelcote, Rick Kressman. And been a pleasure. I've got to wrap up the show. We're out of time. I just think it's fabulous. Sir Alex Ferguson, the longest-serving manager in the history of Manchester United and most successful with 30 trophies, is going to be there as well. So it's going to be a great time had by all. Thanks so much, Rick, for being on the show.
Listen, that's a real pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for making the Golf Club possible. Our sponsors, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu, now more than ever. Choosing an Acura just makes sense. We have a lot of traffic. You know that, and you should ride in comfort if you're going to be stuck in it. The Acura RLX and RLX Advance, and it's here. Go check it out. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue, and they certainly accomplished it for golfers of all abilities. Unique, unforgettable golfing experience. It's Poipu Bay Golf Course. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. Protection for your home, for your business, for any event that you may be putting on. Get the Star Team on your property. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.